have on our plaza area just outside the center a makeshift memorial, if you will, and there have been thousands upon thousands of people that have left flowers, cards, T-shirts, boxing gloves, and kids have drawn pictures all in grievance and respect and remembrance of Muhammad Ali.
Now, this center was established 10 years ago based on the principles that Mr. Ali lived by. Can you just give us some context?
Absolutely. Muhammad Alani wanted the center to inspire people, and as Muhammad has inspired people. Sure, absolutely. What Muhammad Alani wanted to do with the center is not to have a boxing museum. They wanted a center to inspire people, and as Muhammad has inspired people. And Muhammad lived by a set of principles that made him who he was. And so the center is based, for the most part, on Muhammad's six core principles: dedication, confidence, conviction, spirituality, respect, and giving.
And can you explain some of them, what they mean?
Sure, certainly. So, and I will explain in the context of what a visitor will see and how a visitor will be inspired by Muhammad through these principles. So, for example, when you go into our conviction pavilion, you'll see it's almost like a walk through history where you'll see how tumultuous America was at the time Muhammad made his conscientious religious objection to being inducted into the military. In that pavilion, you'll see that there were a lot of people who objected to his stance on the Vietnam War. But you'll also see video of Muhammad making the statement that he was converting to Islam, he was becoming a Muslim, and that he was free to make that choice. As he said, "I don't have to be what you want me to be. I'm free to be who I want to be."
And many people have been making reference to that conviction, that they always say that if nothing else, you can take away from the fact that Mr. Muhammad Ali stood by his principle, stood by his conviction. And then, of course, he was, you know, the Supreme Court decision vindicated his belief.
Yes, the Supreme Court decision, yes, said that he was indeed right in his stance against being inducted into the military service. And it's interesting, if I can tell you about Muhammad from that perspective, he was interviewed after the Supreme Court made that decision, and he was asked this question. He said, "Are you bitter, Muhammad? Do you feel and harbor hate against those that did this to you?" And Muhammad said, "No, if I were bitter, if I hated them, I would be a hypocrite, because they were only doing what they thought they had to do, and I was doing what I thought I had to do."
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about Mr. Ali and the center specifically. Did he come there a lot?
He came to the center on many, many occasions. As a matter of fact, he and his wife help plan how the center's set up, how the exhibits are set up. And when Muhammad was here in town, he would always come to the center. One of his favorite things to do would be to sit on our fourth floor where we have TV screens that show his old fights. Mm-hmm. He would come and watch his old fights.
Really?
Yes. That was one of his favorite things to do.
So what kind of a person was he? I imagine, you know, of course, for those of us who only have seen him on TV, many said he was larger than life.
Absolutely. Muhammad was always a welcoming person to anyone who wanted to be with him. I can tell you a story. There was a young man who was battling leukemia, and Muhammad was here at the center, and Muhammad asked that the young man come in and visit with him for, you know, 15 minutes or so. And at the end of that visit, this young man said to Muhammad, I am so inspired by you. I am going to continue to fight this disease, and I am going to win for you, champ." So,
wow.
Yes, I mean, and to your earlier question, when you were in the presence of Muhammad, you were in the presence of greatness, of true greatness.
That's quite amazing. So the fact that he had Parkinson's, everybody knew that. Many would think that with Parkinson's, it really silenced him, at least verbally. So how did he communicate?
Muhammad could say more with his eyes than I could say with 1,000 words, quite frankly. And with his facial expressions and with his body language. So he was still a very, very expressive person. It was his mere charisma. I mean, that never left him. And the fact that he loved people and people loved him, that never left. And so while he wasn't speaking as much, he still was able to communicate.
Can you describe your first meeting with him?
Sure. I was just inspired to be in his presence. And as I said, his eyes were so expressive. His facial expressions could bring a smile to your face. And that's what it did to me. I was just, you know, in awe of meeting him and so honored to meet him.
Now, of course, the earlier images had this really tough-talking, you know, some even would call very arrogant boxer. Was that all a persona, or was part of that real? And did it put off some people?
Well, I wouldn't say arrogant. I would say confidence, which is one of his principles. He was always very, very confident. And yes, of course, it, you know, I'm sure it was off-putting to his opponents. Many of them said so. Mm-hmm. But Muhammad was always confident, and he had a strong belief in his ability as a boxer. And so, you know, you talk to any boxer, they will not go in the ring thinking that they're going to lose. And Muhammad always went in, and he knew he was going to win.
So what do you see happening with the center now that Muhammad Ali is gone?
Well, we will continue to carry on with Muhammad's legacy. That's part of our mission. We will continue to inspire people through Muhammad's journey, through his story, to be great. One of Muhammad's wishes is, in lieu of flowers, for example, in lieu of flowers and cards, that people make donations to the center to make sure that we're able to continue on with his legacy. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're going to do. We're in the process now of creating some more exhibits around Muhammad's humanitarian efforts that transpired later in life. And the center, once you come, you'll see that it's very interactive, it's very family-oriented, and it's very inspiring. And so we're going to continue on with updating the center, making sure that we're able to continue on preserving and supporting Muhammad Ali's legacy.
Mm-hmm. How did you end up at the center? I read your profile, and you had a long journey before you joined there in 2012.
Yes, I was so honored when I was called by representative of the center to come in and have a discussion about me becoming president and CEO. And from a personal perspective, Muhammad was a hero to me as a child. Mm-hmm. And my father was a great admirer of Muhammad Ali. He met him on several occasions. Unfortunately, he passed away before I took this position. But I can tell you, he would have been the proudest father in the world, knowing that I had the opportunity to be so close to Muhammad and be responsible for the Muhammad Ali Center and Muhammad's legacy.
Can you describe your first meeting with him?
Sure. My first meeting with him was, I think, the same as many other people that first meets Muhammad. I was just inspired to be in his presence. And as I said, his eyes were so expressive. His facial expressions could bring a smile to your face. And that's what it did to me. I was just, you know, in awe of meeting him and so honored to meet him.
And it was at the center?
It was here at the center, yeah. Actually, I met him in his suite. He and his wife have offices here at the center. I walked in and I said, "Hello, Muhammad. How are you?" And, you know, we shook hands and we just had, you know, I had a conversation with him about, you know, what an honor it was to meet him. And he would, you know, do what Muhammad does. Mm-hmm. And there was a twinkle in his eye. And it was amazing. And what people did not know is Muhammad did speak, you know, and on occasion, once on the phone, he said hello to me on the phone, and it just, you know, would just send chills up and down my body to be in his presence and to speak with him.
And I think you've touched along the next question that I had, which is, you know, of course, there's a lot that is out there about Muhammad Ali, but what do you think people really don't know about him that they should, that you picked up?
I think people know this, but they're always surprised at how giving of a person he was, not only, you know, with his deeds, but with his time. Muhammad would literally spend time with you so he could get to know you as a person. And that surprised a lot of people. You know, I've come into contact with people from as far away as Kosovo, and they have stories of meeting Muhammad and were surprised that he actually would spend 15 minutes with them just getting to know them.